very warm welcome to all of you. Thank you for joining the Q1 call of the Lenzing Group. Q1, as we indicated already in at the full year results and the quarter before, a clearly more challenging market environment than the same period in last year. We are very pleased to see that our strategy remains the right recipe for this environment, and I think we are able, in the market environment, to present a very solid set of numbers. Group revenue was down 6.1% to just a bit over 550 million euro for the quarter. Main drivers there was actually on the foreign exchange side. On the EBITDA, we were down 24.8% at 101 million euro and 600,000. The quarter also continued to support our balance sheet. The adjusted equity ratio at the end of the first quarter now stands at 60.5%, and our net financial debt remains very low at 11.6 million euro. Now, at the annual shareholder meeting on April 12th of this year, the dividend that we already flagged to you was approved. 3 euro per share as base dividend and a special dividend of 2 euro per share, so a total of 5 euro as a dividend per share was approved. Next to, I think, a solid set of numbers for the first quarter, our execution of the strategy remains in full swing. Our expansion projects continue to progress, but we are particularly also pleased with the progress that we make on some of the innovations, particularly ECOVERO and TENCEL•LUX. After the brand launches, we see very promising uptake in the market, and we are very pleased. Also, on the commercial front, Q1 was a very important quarter because it was the quarter where we launched our new brand architecture, both the corporate brand, but particularly also the focus on the more consumer-facing brands. We relaunched TENCEL•LUX as a consumer brand. I will speak a bit more about this a couple of pages further down. Let's now first look at the Interfiber price development. Maybe just a word of caution because this is a slide that looks very familiar versus all the other presentations, but please pay attention. This is an RMB per ton slide because it highlights much better what was the market dynamic in China over the last couple of weeks. What you see is that the polyester prices remained very solid and so did cotton. However, on the viscose side, prices were hovering around the 14,700-14,800 mark for the quarter, clearly down from the highs of over 17,000 at the same period of last year. Since then, in the first weeks of April, we saw prices to come further down at around the 14,000-14,100 RMB mark. Focusing in a bit on cotton, the cotton outlook provides, I think, a positive notion. We expect also for the season 2018 and 2019, a quite positive environment. Ongoing quite strong demand. Slightly lower production than what we had in the same season in the same period, 2017-2018. As a consequence, we expect inventories to continue to decline. What is helping at the moment cotton specifically is that we see in some of the application a growing awareness of brand and retailers and fueled by end consumers on environmental aspects. The whole theme of microplastics becomes a more visible one. As a consequence, cotton remains a very positive story for the time being. Now let's switch to the viscose fiber market. Viscose fibers, as I already indicated in the introduction, in Q1 at around the 14,600-14,800 arena. We didn't see any really noticeable new capacities coming in. One line of Satri was started. One line in Indonesia was started. However, some of the bigger expansions were further pushed out in the future. So particularly some of the additional China and some of the additional Indonesian capacities are more now indicated for end of Q2, and some was even moved into Q4. And that's why, exactly like what we forecasted, the bracket of the 600 to 900 remains fully intact. Yes, there were much higher announcements made, but it's exactly like we forecasted. Around this 600 to 900 we expect to come in for the year. However, now more skewed towards the end of the year. Dissolving wood pulp prices in the period increased from a $918 per metric ton at the beginning of the quarter to $940 per metric ton. So further putting pressure on conversion margin, because the caustic prices, as you're well aware, have not eased off. So margins, conversion margins, remain very tough on commodity viscose, and particularly with the price decline that we saw now in the first weeks of April, going down to around to 14,100. Since then, came up a little bit, but hovering around this level. I think commodity viscose is, particularly for the lowest, for the high-cost players at the moment, a difficult business. Let's switch to some of the marketing considerations. As mentioned, the launch or relaunch of Tencel, launch of Tencel as a more consumer-facing brand, was very successful, particularly at some of the key home textiles partners. We found a lot of applause because it supports their story building and value proposition building to their end consumers. You see later on a couple of examples how it is being used. We will already see the first visible packages and so on in the market in Q3, so a very fast uptake in the market. We also see from the amount of licenses and applications we received for the new layout that this is very well taken up. And the launch events that we had in Paris, in Istanbul, in Tokyo, and Shanghai were extremely well intended. And as said, we received strong support from our customers, and we are very pleased on how the new branding initiatives helps us to put Tencel as a premium brand also more into the awareness of end consumers. On this page now, you see a couple of co-branding initiative examples. Lower down, you see G-Star, one of the most famous denim brands, how it is using the Tencel logos in some of their advertisements. Gap, one of the leading fashion retailers, how they use Tencel in their advertisements. We're also very pleased on how Tencel Lux is making further inroads. Jost Berry, one of the most renowned lingerie masters and designers and creative directors, has taken this big time on, so we're very pleased. And also how Allbirds, one of the American shoe brands, has used Tencel to establish a complete green shoe concept and using Tencel for the upper layer and making it a key, very important ingredient for their for the shoe design. So we are very pleased with that. Now, with that, I would like to hand over to Thomas to take us through the financials.
Thank you very much, Stefan. Good morning and welcome also from my side. So let me guide you through the most important financial numbers for Q1 2018. And let me start with revenue. Revenues came in with 550.3 million compared to 586.2 in the same period the year before. That's a decrease of slightly more than 6%. Actually, the main reason for the decrease is due to less favorable FX rates that were impacting our sales prices. The decrease is also to a certain extent due to lower volume we saw in Q1. For those of you actually who joined the call when we released our year-end financial numbers, you might remember that I already mentioned in that call that we were impacted by an unplanned shutdown at one of our viscose sites, and that shutdown actually had a spillover effect also into Q1 2018. With regards to our Specialty Fibers share, actually, this one came in with 42.1%. That is slightly up compared to the number we saw the year before. Now moving on to earnings, actually, and let me start with EBITDA there. EBITDA on a solid level with 101.6 million. That compares to the very good level we saw in Q1 2017 with 135.1 million. The decrease, of course, being the result of our revenue line being down, impacted by FX, but also lower volume, and at the same time, increasing costs for our raw materials. Most important here, of course, to be mentioned, caustic, but also coal and sulfur. With regards to EBIT, actually, we see the same development there. EBIT basically down by the same number as EBITDA. EBIT margin now at 12.5% compared to 17.5% in the period before. Moving on to earnings, group net profit came in with 50 million euros. That compares to 75 million the year before. Earnings per share at 1.89 euro compared to 2.75 euros in Q1 2017. And as already mentioned by Stefan, actually, with regards to dividend payment, AGM finally then approved, of course, our proposal to pay out a dividend of in total 5 euros, consisting of a base dividend of 3 euros and a special dividend of 2 euros. Moving on to our balance sheet, actually, as already highlighted by Stefan, balance sheet very, very strong. Net financial debt actually almost zero, came in with 12 million euros as per end of March. That is, of course, before the dividend payment. With regards to the total assets, not too much of a movement there. Actually, total assets increased by 4%. Mostly driven, of course, by an increase of our liquid assets, and the increase of liquid assets, of course, being a result of the earnings in Q1. Last but not least, a couple of words on the cash flow. Actually, gross cash flow was down by 30%, of course, fully in line with the result, whereas operating cash flow was slightly up, driven by a very positive development on the working capital. Free cash flow down by 36%, and of course, including CapEx of more than 58 million. Last but not least, on the trading working capital, actually slightly down. What you see there is we have adjusted the chart for the factoring that we did in the past. This was discontinued, fully discontinued in Q4 2017. So actually, trading working capital slightly down compared to December. And with that, actually, I hand back to Stefan for the outlook.
Thank you very much, Thomas. So a solid set of numbers in a more demanding market environment. And I've highlighted here sort of the four most important factors. As already mentioned, I think viscose net capacity additions, we still expect the 600,000 to 900,000 ton for the year. Market demand, very solid. However, we will have a different supply-demand picture as what we had the last 2 years. And you see this on the chart below already, of course, as mentioned before, on the development of the viscose prices, where we stand as we speak today at around the 14,100 mark compared to over 17,000 in the first quarter of last year. The caustic soda picture has not altered from the call that we made for the full year results. So caustic prices remain on a very high level. And the euro, compared to a 107 that we had in the first quarter of last year, now after quite a period above 120, now at slightly below the 120 mark. What is very pleasing in this very challenging or more challenging and demanding environment is that our specialty prices continued to do very well. Our specialty prices held and were in most markets even increased. So I think we continue to be positive about our ability to exert pricing power in the specialties. However, as we already said, this is a very important year of proving our strategy. And I think when we go then into Q3 and so on, we can declare a full victory. But at the moment, I think we are very positive on our ability to drive the specialty business forward. So our strategy, all in all, continues to be very much the right strategy for the environment that we are in. The execution priorities remain the same. Strengthening the core, we are now very busy with the bottlenecking of our pulp assets, working very intensely on the finalization of the backward integration strategy towards the 75%. We are not yet fully there yet, but we are still very hopeful that in due course we can report how we're going to accomplish that. On the specialization, we are in the process of starting up our Heiligenkreuz, the bottlenecking of 25,000 tons of lyocell that will bring some relief because some lyocell, we are extremely tight on the supply side, so that will bring some relief. And of course, the two big projects in the US and Thailand that you're very well aware of. Customer intimacy, I already mentioned the whole rollout of the brand architecture and the strengthening of our more consumer-facing brand activities, the ongoing strengthening of our direct sales and marketing channels to the end consumers, and the further work that we're doing on Tencel Lux. On the corporate culture side, we put a lot of focus also on the continuous improvement measures because we have a more demanding environment out there. And next to all the initiatives that support the growth, we want to make sure that we are also driving our efficiency. What does this mean for the year? All in all, we look at a very positive macro environment of economic growth around 3.9%. However, with a less favorable euro for export-oriented companies such as we are, the developments of the fiber markets remain in general positive, but quite some volatility. Cotton looks not bad. Polyester, not bad. However, on the viscose side, the supply-demand remains, I think, one of the things that weighs heavy on the commodity side of the business. On the specialty side of the business, we continue to do very well and are very positive for the year. So all in all, the mix remains, somewhat contradictory in terms of the various factors. We continue to be not too positive on the viscose commodity prices because some of the capacities just have been pushed into the future. And I think we will see some of these impacts. Caustic remains very high. So on that basis, we reiterate the outlook that we stated in the full year call that we expect the year 2018 to be a good year, but clearly lower than the outstanding results that we had in the years 16 and 17. With that, I would like to finish our elucidations and open the line for any questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star followed by one on their telephone keypad. If you wish to withdraw your question, you can press star followed by two. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. Anyone who has a question may press star followed by one at this time. Please limit yourself to two questions only so that everyone has a chance to ask a question. And should there be time left, we can start a second Q&A session. One moment for the first question, please. The first question comes from the line of Stefan Trubrich of Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. Good morning, Stephanie. Thanks for taking my questions. First of all, I would be interested in an update on the situation in the commodity viscose market in Asia. As you pointed out, that some of your, let's say, higher cost competitors are currently taking losses, but at the same time, capacity additions have been pushed back. So what's your intel? Why has the viscose price decreased in the last couple of weeks? Was it only the some capacity that was added? And what do you foresee now when the larger capacities are coming in the second half of 2018? Where could the viscose price go if, let's say, the average producer is already taking a loss of more than 1,000 yuan per ton. And the second question would be related to your speciality pricing. It's very reassuring and good to hear that prices are developing positively. How would you tie in here the development of the cotton price, which has been very positive in recent weeks, and actually cotton is at the moment at a premium to viscose. So let's say at some point, obviously, with the high cotton price, there will be new production in cotton. So at some point, obviously, there might be more supply in cotton. And how would you see your pricing in specialities if at some point cotton goes down again? Would you say then also you're very confident that you can keep it in the speciality price? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Trubrick. So let's start a little bit with commodity viscose. Indeed, also our intelligence says that with input costs as we have them at the moment, with market prices as we have them at the moment, many players in China today are losing money and, frankly, losing cash. Now, the further notching down of prices from Q1 now, or after Chinese New Year now to, you know, in April, we see two reasons. Number one, I think that we have indeed seen some capacity coming into the market and some more or less trying to make sure that you position this capacity. And we saw also two lines coming back after temporary outages, again, due to environmental concerns. So those were two factors why I think there was, you know, some pressure in the market. Now, since then, we see market prices again, you know, drifting up slightly. But the situation remains quite difficult to interpret. Our base assumption is if you today use purely economical rationale, there is no rationale for any major price decreases. We also think that the industry structure in China is a very different today to what we had in 13-14, where maybe other factors than economic factors played a very important role in why units should be running. The environmental pressure continues to be very high. So as a consequence, we would say, at least economically, no major reasons why prices should go strongly further down. However, we have seen lack of logic in this market in the past, so that's why we also reiterate in our outlook it's somewhat opaque. On the specialty pricing, indeed, we
Sorry to interrupt you. Just one follow-up. If you, let's say, the intel you have, and you said you expect net additions of 600,000 to 900,000 tons, where would we be at this point in time? How much capacity has been added? How much has been gone out? So in terms of net additions year to date, do you have some color you can give us?
I think probably just around a third of what we forecasted so far has reached the market. So a bit less than 200,000 so far has come into the market.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. And on the specialty prices, we are very positive in the way how our business continues to perform, the way we, even in the Tencel franchise, in the Modal franchise, are more and more successful to proliferate the amount of SKUs to make it a true specialty business, and now also together with our brand launches, I think we are building on walls around the business that continue to support it on the long run. Cotton prices help, however, our total pricing effort is quite unlinked from the development of the commodities that are sort of, you know, the inter-fiber competition. Now, we are not immune, so high cotton prices clearly help. High polyester prices clearly help. But we are very diligent at the moment in bringing prices up, in part keeping them stable, because we need to ensure that our customers can pass those prices on and can find those markets where they can get their premium. And that's why we are doing this very careful and diligent. We could increase prices probably quite a bit more at the moment. However, that would hurt the business on the long run and would alienate our customers. And that's why we need to do this in very close cooperation with our customers, and I'm very proud on how our commercial team does that. And as a consequence, we're also very positive for the remainder of the year.
Okay, very good to hear. And just as a brief follow-up here, because the co-branding initiatives tie in nicely here, could you provide us maybe a little bit more color on how that or how does that work from a, let's say, commercial standpoint? I mean, is there quite some reputed brands that now show Tencel in their commercials? Do you give them a discount or do you pay them? Or how would that work if you can disclose this information?
I think as a matter of principle, we are not paying our customers to use the brands. That is something they use for better positioning their products. We also don't give discounts to our customers as a consequence. They see value in using our brands to differentiate their business from their competitors. We are supporting them in part by doing our own initiatives to end consumers. We are, and that's what we presented last time. We do experiments on how with different in-store placements we might be able to support that and come up with new concepts. But in principle, don't assume that the brand building at the moment goes with giving, you know, special rebates and so on. That's not
okay,
our problem.
Good to hear. Yeah, good to hear. All right, great. Thank you.
All right.
The next question comes from the line of Matthias Pfeifenberger with Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, Stephanie Klenz. Couple of follow-ups. I think the picture right now is a bit different from what you painted last quarter. You said the price impact might be imminent, and today you're talking about the year-on-year price decline, but we all know that the prices in Q4 and Q1 were driven by outages, and 17,000 down to 14,000 wasn't based on capacity additions. So now we have 200,000 in the market. Isn't that a very positive outcome, in fact, that prices haven't even suffered at all? I mean, it's basically from 1470 to 1410 or something, and Q1 prices, by the way, still have been up by 1% sequentially. So my question is, isn't that really much better than you expected, and are you not at the point where you could basically step away from the statement that you're not make the 2016 result?
Okay, Mr. Pfeifenberger, it depends on how you look at prices. If I just look at headline prices, you indeed could come to this conclusion. You could say, yeah, 14,700 looks like a great figure. 14,100 also looks like a great figure because we were in the past below 12,000. Now, that might be one conclusion. However, then I think if we look at the underlying caustic prices and dissolved wood pulp prices, you come to the different conclusion, namely that at the moment, and that was also, I think we briefly elucidated this in the previous answer, at the moment, many of the players are losing cash. Now, so all in all, I would say that is pretty much, I think, the outlook that indeed we had in mind, that we already started to guide towards a year ago. And as such, I would say what we saw in Q4 and what we saw in Q1 was in quite some anticipation of what we expect in the market, which only partly now happened in the market. And I would also, and that is, I think my guess is as good as yours, some of the capacity which was delayed could, I wouldn't say that this is completely unrelated to some of the, you know, pricing that we see currently going on in the market, because the business at the moment is clearly not an easy one. So I think it is important to remember the 14,700 or the 14,100. How do they stack up with the same How do they stack up versus dissolved wood pulp and caustic at the same period against whatever you compare it to? So at the moment, I would say no reason to be overly pessimistic that it will go back to the 12,000-ish mark. However, we have seen, you know, lack of logic, as I said, in the market before.
Okay. And what are you hearing from the customers? I mean, is Sattery going very price aggressive? You must have some intel from others in terms of what they are offering in terms of to buy their place in the market. Are prices falling as we speak, and hence your continued cautiousness, or is there just no way to know?
Now, I think, first of all, the whole market on commodity viscose is a true spot market. So you have some pockets in Europe and the U.S. where you have more quarterly prices, but frankly, the majority of the business is done on true spot basis where you have a visibility of, we're speaking more of days than of weeks. Now, what we have seen, and I will not comment on individual competitors, that indeed in anticipation of more capacity that will hit the market, bigger parcels have been placed at a slight discount, but then the market immediately reacts, and that was one of the things that I guess brought the prices of the 1,400 level down, was some of those pre-marketing parcels that have been placed. Since then, as you rightly indicate, market slightly inches up. Again, so normal market introduction. We don't see, per se, any unusual behavior in the market this time versus what we saw in the past if the market gets, again, a bit longer. Now, what is clearly yet to be seen is then some of the bigger lines will come up and running, and again, we expect this more towards the second half of the year. Will this do another dent to the prices? Can be. Doesn't have to be. Can be. However, it doesn't change one picture, and this is that commodity viscose today is, for many players in the market, a cash-losing business. Now, and that's why we're also very pleased with our performance, because in this performance, to come with the set of numbers as we delivered, I think underpins that some of the things we're doing quite right.
Okay, thanks a lot. Maybe a follow-on the pulp integration situation. You mentioned you're probably about to be able to announce something soon. Any more color on that point?
Let's wait for another couple of weeks. I'm not saying months, I'm saying weeks. And then I think we should be, we will go a bit more into deep dive.
Okay, and then maybe an anecdotal one or a funny one. I followed Tom Brady and happened to saw a picture of his wife, Giselle Bündchen, and she was on the Met Gala yesterday, and she was basically bragging about Versace making her a dress out of 100% organic cotton and organic silk. Yeah, and I just wonder, what's the missing piece to in terms of perception, or would it make sense to have a brand ambassador like a person like that, or is this just, I don't know, you're going for the more high volume applications rather than a Versace dress that's probably produced in the 10s or 20s?
I think in terms of having a brand ambassador, that is one of the things that we have been playing around with. We haven't concluded yet on any final decision there. Indeed, as you say, to get exposure at some of the top brands is, for an ingredient brand, very difficult. You will not you know, get Versace or Hermes or Chanel to say, we are so proud to use Tencel. They will just not do that. And one of the things that we continue to have as an issue, as an industry, is that lyocell and viscose have in many parts of the world still the connotation of artificial fiber. So if you ask consumers, they put it more into the basket of a polyester, polyamide, than towards the cotton. And we are slowly but surely changing that. If you see this over the last 3 years, we moved away from man-made fibers to these are cellulosic-based fibers.
And all those steps you're doing very consciously to move the public perception away. And I think the rest, I think, is then more just good craftsmanship on the marketing side.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot, Chance, and good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question comes from line of Sebastian Bray with Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my questions. I would have two, please. The first concerns the comment made at the start of the call on the decline in sales quarter on quarter in Q1 2018 being mainly driven by FX. I'm just trying to understand this. Quarter on quarter, if I compare to Q1 2017, has a price decline of well over 10%. And it's difficult for me to reconcile the statement to the reported results of Lenzing, unless I'm thinking that quarter on quarter there is a substantial, i.e. over 5% increase in specialty fiber pricing across the board. The second question I have, is this correct? The second question I have is on new capacity. Do you have any indications of where this will sit on the cost curve, i.e. what could be mean cash loss for the industry now could be perhaps shifted downwards on the cost curve in moving into the end of 2018? Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Bray, I will ask Thomas to take the first question on the quarter-on-quarter comparison revenue, and I will do the new capacities.
On your first question, I mean, I hope I understood your question correctly. I mean, let me go back one step. I mean, we do invoice quite a significant portion of our revenues in US dollar, but also in RMB. And if we just compare where FX rates have been in the same period the last year, then there is, of course, a massive change. I mean, just take a look at the US dollar. The US dollar has been at a level of 1.07 in Q1 2017, whereas actually in Q1 2018, it has been at 1.23. So actually, that should actually explain basically all of what you are obviously missing.
But even if I look at the, I take a look at the viscose prices as they were given in dollars for the start of 2017, they're still about, 5 to 6% higher in dollar terms, or even, it's a bit different, but I think I'm probably just underestimating the extent of the FX effects at Lenzing, but it is difficult, in my view, to come to this basically situation where it looks as if, I don't know if there is maybe an annualization effect on increases in specialty fiber prices that you put through later in 2017, but essentially what, please go ahead.
I mean, with regards to currencies, and when we split up our revenue numbers into the different currencies we are using, I mean, the most important one is, of course, the U.S. dollar, accounting for probably slightly more than 40% of our revenues. Then actually comes the euro with around 30%, and then the RMB with around 20%. And then there's a smaller portion in IDR, Indonesian rupees. However, if you just now do the math and take the average FX rates last year and this year, I mean, the US dollar basically being down by basically almost 15%.
Not that I want to labor the point, but it's almost as if the FX effect is substantial enough to make me think that perhaps there is actually some positive pricing effect in there from specialty fibers year on year. I don't know if you could comment on that at all, as opposed to flat.
I think, Mr. Bray, this is a correct conclusion. However, we will not go into more details.
We are not elaborating on this. However, the conclusion
is not off.
Is not off, yes.
Thank you very much.
On the new capacity, what was it again?
Can you repeat the second question?
The question was on how exactly, where on the cost curve you think that the
capacity will
fit.
What we will have is two kind of capacity additions. We will have the majority of the capacity additions will be on the left side of the cost curve. We expect particularly the the volumes that come from the backward integrated players such as Satory to be very cost competitive. We still, and I would say this is probably around a quarter to a third of the capacity that is more sort of mid of the road, more right side of the cost curve. But substantial capacities from the backward integrated players is very cost effective capacities.
Thank you very much.
Next question comes from the line of Laura Lopez Pineda with Baader Bank. Please go ahead.
Good morning. I have two more questions. Firstly, on the presentation, you mentioned that there was lower viscose demand after the Chinese New Year. So you already mentioned also the two reasons why you think prices went down starting in April, but you also mentioned this lower demand. What do you believe was the main reason for this? And do you expect this to pick up? Is it maybe also some shutdowns in downstream players because of environmental regulations? And secondly, you mentioned that Ecovera and Texel Lux brand launches are looking very promising. So do you expect any impact sales on sales in 2018 already, or should we still see that more in 2019? And can you also give us maybe an update on how the Refibra brand is going?
Okay. Starting with the viscose demand, we saw after Chinese New Year, and that is not untypical, immediately after Chinese New Year, we saw a somewhat slow pickup coming out of the blocks. However, nothing unusual. As such, I think viscose remains to be a very solid demand story. So this was just, I think, not untypical immediately after Chinese New Year. Overall demand picture looks very solid. In terms of Tenslux and Ecovero, Tenslux, of course, is still a very small product for us. We are working on maybe finding ways to come up with bridging capacities until we have the large-scale operations then up and running, but that continues to do well. And Ecovero, I already indicated, and at other occasions, we do think that we are in the high single-digit or even slightly double-digit kilotons where we expect Ecovero to land. So, and that is something which is already something that is going to make a very important contribution already in 18 and, of course, 19. On Refibra, that is, I think, in terms of the market uptake, the most conservative one, also the most difficult one from a marketing and pricing point of view. However, what we see with Refibra, it helps tremendously our overall Tencel venture because in the eyes of many of the leading brands, it puts us as the sustainability leader at senior level and senior decision makers, and we see very positive spillover effects from all the brands where we work on Refibra with on our other sales.
Sorry, and a small follow-up. So on Ecovero, how do you see the pricing strategy? Is it more like a double-digit premium to the spot market, or are you also trying to decouple it totally from the spot market movements?
No, Ecovero will always be linked to viscose because that is a clear substitute, but I think it is something to think in 10 to 20% premium range for the product, but with slightly less volatility of than commodity viscose, because the pricing mechanism is not on a daily spot basis.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, that was very helpful.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, star followed by one at this time. We have a follow-up question from Mr. Matthias Pfeifenberg with Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, just on 2019, is it too early to talk about that, or you expect some kind of a bit of a shift from the 2018 capacity ramp up towards 2019, and maybe is there a chance the number will be higher than the 600 to 900?
I would indeed suggest we wait with 19 because at the moment the visibility we have on what is the fate of some of those capacity shifts
is not fully there, so I propose we do this maybe in the next quarter. I think that we expect some more visibility, but for sure latest in Q3.
Yeah, okay, and thanks a lot. That's fair enough. Thanks.
Gentlemen, there are no further questions registered at this time.
Thank you very much. Then I would like to express my thank you that you joined the call and wish you a good day. Looking forward to have you on the next call when we discuss Q2. Thank you.